Welcome to Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio with author, speaker, and your host, Pat Rulo. Serving you a generous helping of everything you need to know to help you and your loved ones stay safe during any doctor or hospital visit. The program is not intended to replace medical advice from a licensed professional, but rather to encourage you to become a well-informed participant in your health and well-being. And now, your host, Pat Rulo.
Hello and welcome. I'm Pat Rulo, the voice for patient safety, where each week we delve into little-known healthcare and hospital hazards, as well as other fringe topics that affect your health and well-being. I'm so happy you've taken the time to join me, and today I have lots to share with you. So, let's dig right in, shall we? Last week, I came upon an exchange on Facebook that originated from a gal whom I interviewed for one of my radio programs called Speak Up and Stay Alive. She had a disease that would eventually kill her, but she took part in a clinical trial, and long story short, she is now cured. Well, I was attracted to this post because it had to do with cats. And so to protect the names of the guilty, I'm going to use initials. And I will call this gal who originated the post, I'll call her Cat Hater. So Cat Hater wrote on Facebook that she was looking for recommendations. How to keep neighborhood cats out of my backyard. There are several deposits of fresh, mushy, fly-ridden cat poop every morning sitting right on top of my lawn. No, I do not waste precious water on lawn in summer to keep it green, but I still enjoy having clean grass to walk across and sit, reading, eating in lawn chair. I am open to all, in capital letters, to all suggestions, but preferably things you have tried yourself with success. Posting links to lists of 10 ways to deter your cats from yard is not, in capital letters, not useful. But let's see how many people do it anyway. Most of those things are not practical for a large yard. I am not going to spread twigs and branches or chicken wire or human hair over surface of my entire backyard or plant rue and lavender in every square inch of my backyard. Suggestions to talk to owners will not fix the problem. Cats can go anywhere. Suggestions to get a dog, not useful. Same problem, different poop. I am looking for more cat removal or permanent deterrent possibilities. I know that cat owners will not understand this post, but I have no animals by choice. I love the sanctuary of my backyard and piles of fresh, barf-inducing cat poo that I have to remove daily have diminished that enjoyment considerably. Obviously, here, this is me talking, we've got an angry person on our hands, and you do not have to be a therapist to realize that her anger clearly doesn't come from cats, but rather something in her life, most likely self-perpetuated, and is taking it out on cats. You could simply tell that by the tone of her writing. Well, here are some of the responses. LK writes, I've seen automated motion detector sprinklers. People use them to deter deer and elk as well with them. SB says, cats don't like citrus. Neighborhood cats were dumping under the living room window in the garden at my mom's place. We put out the rinds from grapefruit skins and oranges and they stopped. Mothballs and moth flakes also work, and even those kept a skunk from re-entering my backyard. LK says, or maybe sprinkle in some cayenne powder in your flower beds or different spots. ES said, could also be fixed. Cats usually bury their poop. Foxes, not so much. And Cat Hater says, no foxes here. These cats are doing it out in the open, unburied, and right beside my lawn chair and picnic table on purpose to vex me for always chasing them off whenever I see them. MM writes, interesting, so it's personal. Cat Hater says, totally personal. MW writes, I have a fire pit surrounded by sand. The poorly brought up cats in my neighborhood don't bother to cover their poop either. SB says, seeing is believing. I have no idea what that means. Cat Hater writes, these cats are doing it out in the open, unburied, and right beside my lawn chair and picnic table on purpose to vex me for always chasing them off whenever I see them. Sounds like she's repeating herself. Oh, and SB says, yes, cats can be spiteful. MM writes, dogs will poop without covering. Are you sure it's cats? Cat hater writes, these cats are doing it out in the open, unburied, and right beside my lawn chair and picnic table on purpose to vex me for always chasing them off whenever I see them. Oh my gosh, she's repeating herself. Also, she says dogs cannot get into my backyard. I have never seen one get through it in 15 years. Definitely cat. Can tell from texture and smell. Well, she's a cat poop expert. MM says, this is a more difficult situation then. I think L's situation would work. No cat can handle a blast of water. SB says, actually, I used to breed cats, a breed that love the water, and another breed that are known as fishers. Look at the big cats, lions. They live in the plains and don't enjoy swimming, but tigers live in the forest and they definitely swim and fish. PL, she reins in. She says, they could be strays, cat hater. There is a motion detector sprinkler. You mount it low and it sprays movement. Cat hater says, yes, they could be strays. I actually don't know who, if anyone, owns them. Sprinkler setup does seem to be one possible solution. MW, holly branches work wonders for me in the flower beds. JS, our neighbor used to put out rubber snakes or two, like a toy one, to deter our cat. She said it worked. SN, my neighbors put forks in their garden, prongs side up, of course. Cats hate this. SB, but she's not talking about gardens. She's referring to cats pooping out in the open, in the middle of the lawn. Forks and twigs will not solve that issue. Cat hater says they have no interest in the gardens. It is a battle for territoriality between them and me. PH says, I feel for you. Have to put up with lots of deer poop, front and back. AS says, when we change the way we look at things, things we look at change. Start with Ho'oponopono and start feeling love for them. This may sound crazy, but all they know is that you hate them, and so in a hurry not to be chased out of your yard, they run instead of covering up their poop. Maybe if you provide an area just for them, then bag up their poop and give it to their owners, take photos of them using the area, and then show the owners. Sorry for crazy, but that's all I have left. And I'm going to talk a little bit later about her suggestion of Ho'oponopono. I'll explain that in a minute. D.O. says, coyote pet? C.B., your neighbor's cats would most likely bury their poop. It might be feral cats. Cat hater says, no cats will bury their poop if they are doing it deliberately to get back at you for shooing them off your property. I have dealt with this issue on many different cats for 15 years. They deliberately poop next to wherever they see you sit or stand so that you will have to confront them, maybe even step in it. MM says, well, shooing them will only work if you do it with a water spray bottle or a hose. Cat hater says, I once really soaked one with a hose and that cat never came back to the yard. Timing is everything on the hose thing. Right now, my hose has to be turned off from inside the basement, so by the time I get down there and back, cat has probably ambled off. CB said, I didn't know that cats were so vindictive. You're humanizing them. They poop and pee to mark their territory. It's not personal. CB says, if you go to the local tire store that stocks hunting supplies and paraphernalia, you can buy small containers of coyote pee. Yep, you heard right. Some hunters use it as a lure, but you can be sure cats will not take kindly to it. We used it on raccoons once. Cat hater says, interesting. We'll investigate that. Never knew about this. CB has this to say. You can also use your own urine, which is the point. It is your territory. I saw a show once where men marked off their territory. Cat hater says, I like that even better. I used to collect my pee to dilute it for fertilizer for garden. I must say my plants and flowers were amazing in those years. MW says, I can't help wonder how they get coyote pee. CW says, I think they have decoy fire hydrants. TT says, try putting the cat's food where the cat pooped. Perhaps they won't poop there next time. Cat hater writes, I am definitely not going to be feeding these cats. I want them off the property, not trying to attract them. CB says, kind-hearted people are making a lot of guesses. Citrus peels and mothballs work. Although, mothballs are toxic. Wow. Here's an idiot. GM says, Smith and Wesson. Yeah. IK says, I had this problem years ago and used paprika. Although, maybe it was cayenne. MD says, muskrat traps work perfect. Bait them with salmon and they clamp right around the neck and you won't even hear the death scream. CM says, pee in a bottle and dump it where the cats go. Get a Jack Russell. They'll kill cats in a heartbeat. Or other terrier. Cat Hater said, I have thought of collecting my pee again for this. Used to do it to dilute for garden fertilization. Seriously, that's what she wrote, fertilization. But someone else mentioned human pee will do the trick here. CM, it may be that men's pee will work better. Cat Hater said, well, I could get my brother involved. So then Cat Hater goes on to write more. She says, just a point of clarification for people who are baffled by a point in my previous post and searching for alternate explanations in animals, which are not the case here. Cats will absolutely poop right in the open, unburied, and in the worst possible place for you, beside my lawn chair and picnic table, if they are doing it deliberately to vex you because you don't want them on your property and you chase them off at every opportunity. That is what cats do, folks, and I am ready to end this problem by whatever means necessary. Sounds like Cat Hater is really getting mad about this and will do anything. Well, RB says, they hate mothballs. I once had a cat who pooped in my neighborhood's living room outside the window box. I supplied my neighbor every now and again with mothballs to prevent this disgusting pooping drama in full view of their family and friends. Good luck. I would rather have cats than rats or anything like that. JT says, complaining about cats on the interwebs? Brave woman. CD says, hope it also solves Trump cat, whatever that means. KB says, it's not their fault. They're just doing their thing. They are screwing up your yard. We're screwing up the whole planet. Local groups might be happy to set traps and remove them. EW said, my cats wouldn't come near me if I had certain scents on me. Citronella, peppermint, lavender, or the big one, tiger's balm. Put on cotton balls or something and place them in the area. Then MB says, no poet should ever admit to ever thinking of harming a cat. And this is the section that got me. I saw that. And Cat Hater puts N-O in big capital letters. No guilt here. MB says, uh-oh. When you say no guilt, do you mean you weren't guilty or that you didn't have any conscious pangs? And Cat Hater admits the latter. No conscious pangs here by whatever means necessary. MB says, hey, Cat Hater, I'll send you some cat love potion and pretty soon you'll have a house full. Cat Hater says, no thanks. MB says, this is obviously a job for the FDL, Feline Defense League. WF says, it sounds like some reverse psychology could work. If these cats are vexing you because you're a big meanie to them, try treating them with some love. Something that might allow you to appreciate them a little is the thought that they are keeping the rodents in that area at bay. I'd rather have cat poop in my yard than a rat in the basement. And that's where I chimed in and I said, cats are not spiteful. Something is attracting them to your property. Please, Cat Hater, don't kill them. I'm sure you can find a way to deter them until they move on. They are little souls, too. Cat Hater said, you are right. My backyard is a cat paradise, bushy and overgrown with lots of variety and hidey places, while the house next door has big, bare expanse of mowed backyard and everywhere else on the block is apartments. AS comes back. Have you tried peeing on your property to mark your ownership? Cat Hater says, not yet, but we'll be doing something like that, collecting urine and putting it on pooed spots to see if it deters. MH says, could you please report on the results of your pee experiment? We have the same problem. TT says, be nice to cats. You wouldn't want to be a mouse in the next life. And that's where I stop. And since I'm also a poet of sorts, not one who hates cats and not one who is angry, I came up with my own little poem and it goes like this. Once there was a poet, although you wouldn't know it. She waxed about birds and waned about trees. She loved all the flowers and bushes and bees. She wrote about this and professed to love that. And now in your face, she'll murder a cat. Fast forward some years and wow, look at her. A frail little mouse meeting death with a purr. You killed me last time and now it's my turn. I guess we all get what we give, what we earn. And there you have it, my grand response to this insane Facebook exchange that led me to learn more about Ho'oponopono. Remember that one person who suggested that Cat Hater practice Ho'oponopono? Well, I had no idea what she was talking about, but I guess I was supposed to learn something from all of this, right? Let me share with you. Simply put, Ho'oponopono means to make right or to rectify an error. According to ancient Hawaiians, error arises from thoughts that are tainted by painful memories from the past. Ho'oponopono offers a way to release the energy of these painful thoughts or errors which cause imbalance and disease. And remember I told you, this gal had a life-threatening disease. Something's obviously going on here. In many Polynesian cultures, it's believed that a person's errors caused illness. And in most cases, however, specific rites could be performed that could undo such errors and atone for such errors and thereby diminish one's accumulation of them. Kind of a way to reverse karma. Now, to really make sense of this, I want to share an article titled Simple Steps to Healing Ho'oponopono. It's titled, I Love You, I'm Sorry, Please Forgive Me, Thank You, by Dr. Joe Vitale. He writes, 2 years ago, I heard about a therapist in Hawaii who cured a complete ward of criminally insane patients without ever seeing any of them. The psychologist would study an inmate's chart and then look within himself to see how he created that person's illness. As he improved himself, the patient improved. Well, I first heard the story, I thought it was an urban legend. How could anyone heal anyone else by healing himself? How could even the best self-improvement master cure the criminally insane? It didn't make sense. It wasn't logical. So I dismissed the theory. However, I heard it again a year later. I had heard that the therapist had used the Hawaiian healing process called Ho'oponopono. I'd never heard of it, yet I couldn't let it leave my mind. If the story was at all true, I had to know more. I always understood total responsibility to mean that I am responsible for what I think and do. Beyond that, it's out of my hands. Well, I think that most people think of total responsibility that way. We are responsible for what we do, not what anyone else does. The Hawaiian therapist who healed those mentally ill people would teach me an advanced new perspective about total responsibility. I asked him to tell the complete story of his work as a therapist. He explained that he worked at Hawaii State Hospital for 4 years. That ward where they kept the criminally insane was dangerous. Psychologists quit on a monthly basis. The staff called in sick a lot, or they simply quit. People would walk through the ward with their backs against the wall, afraid of being attacked by patients. It was not a pleasant place to live, work, or visit. Well, this therapist, Dr. Len, told me that he never saw patients. He agreed to have an office and to review their files. While he looked at those files, he would work on himself. As he worked on himself, patients began to heal. After a few months, patients that had to be shackled were allowed to walk freely, he told me. Others who had to be heavily medicated were getting off their medications, and those who had no chance of ever being released were being freed. I was in awe. Not only that, he went on, but the staff began to enjoy coming to work. Absenteeism and turnover disappeared. We ended up with more staff than we needed because patients were being released and all the staff was showing up to work. This is where I had to ask the million-dollar question. What were you doing within yourself that caused those people to change? I was simply healing that part of me that created them, he said. I didn't understand. Dr. Len explained that total responsibility for your life means that everything in your life, simply because it is in your life, is your responsibility. In a literal sense, the entire world is your creation. Wow, that's tough to swallow. Being responsible for what I say or do is one thing. Being responsible for what everyone in my life says or does is quite another. Yet, the truth is this. If you take complete responsibility for your life, then everything you see, hear, taste, touch, or in any way experience is your responsibility because it is your life. That means that terrorist activity, the president, the economy, anything you experience and don't like is up for you to heal. They don't exist, in a manner of speaking, except as projections from inside you. The problem isn't with them, it's with you. And to change them, you have to change you. I know this is tough to grasp, let alone accept or actually live. Blame is far easier than total responsibility. But as I spoke with Dr. Len, I began to realize that healing for him and in Ho'oponopono means loving yourself. If you want to improve your life, you have to heal your life. And if you want to cure anyone, even a mentally ill criminal, you do it by healing you. I asked Dr. Len how he went about healing himself. What was he doing exactly when he looked at those patient files? I just kept saying, I am sorry and I love you over and over again, he explained. That's it? That's it. Turns out that loving yourself is the greatest way to improve yourself. And as you improve yourself, you improve your world. Now, suffice it to say, it would take a whole book to explain this advanced technique with the depth it deserves. But in a nutshell, whenever you want to improve anything in your life, there's only one place to look, and that's inside you. And when you look, do it with love. Dr. Len's message may be quite hard to believe, yet it's amazingly simple. He states that we are all responsible for everything that we see in our world. By taking full personal responsibility and then healing the wounded places within ourselves, we can literally heal ourselves and our world. Whenever a place for healing presents itself in your life, open to the place where the hurt resides within you. After identifying this place, with as much feeling as you can, say the following four statements. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And thank you. Even if you are skeptical, consider giving this simple healing method a try to see what happens. Many have found it to be incredibly profound in their lives. And so, to my Facebook cat hater, I say this to you with all my heart. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you.
Listen to Pat Rulo and Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio. Stay safe from little-known healthcare and hospital hazards. To learn more, go to speakupandstayalive.com. That's speakupandstayalive.com.
I'd like for you to meet a fellow radio host whose program is all about keeping our planet safe. And you can listen to her weekly shows at speakuptalkradio.com.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Green, and I would love for you to become a part of my world. Mrs. Green's world is an engaged international community and a global movement of ideas and action made up of people who truly care about their own health and the health of this great planet of ours. In Mrs. Green's world, we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. Our guests from all over the world will give you plenty of things to think about. Please visit my website at mrsgreensworld.com and become a part of our world.
She is a dear friend of mine with lots to share with you. She even has a book, and you can reach her by phone at 520-230-3977 or visit mrsgreensworld.com. Next is another wonderful friend who hosts a radio show about caregiving. She currently is the caretaker for her aging mom, and we connected when I, too, was caring for my mom.
Hi, this is Jana Panaritis, host of the AgeWise podcast, where we hear from the healthcare system's hidden workforce, the millions of family caregivers whose stories of devotion and courage will shock and inspire you. Join me as we shake up the conversation on care, and know you're not alone. Listen to a brand new episode every week at speakuptalkradio.com. To learn more about the show, visit the AgeWise website. That's AgeWYZ.com.
If you or someone you know is in the caregiver role, check out her website and purchase her book. Visit AgeWYZ.com, and that's spelled AgeWYZ, AgeWYZ.com, or give her a call, 800-590-2129. Well, there you have it. Lots to think about and plenty to speak up about. I hope that as you listen to this program each week, you make a conscious decision to speak up about those things that may seem small, may not affect you right now, but somewhere in your heart and in your mind, you sense are not right. We can make changes, but not through silence. So join me and be a voice of reason. It's only been within the past 10 years that I decided to remain silent no longer. It started when my mom was in the hospital back in 2008 for shoulder surgery, and was then having a heart attack in the recovery room that went undiagnosed for 9 hours. It was then I realized that I had to make a move, and I became a patient advocate. I wrote the book, Speak Up and Stay Alive, The Patient Advocate Hospital Survival Guide, and share what I now know at live speaking events. You don't have to wait for something bad to happen to begin advocating for change. It's never too soon, or too late for that matter, to speak up about things that speak to you. And as I mentioned my book and speaking events, let me remind you to get a copy of the book for yourself or as a gift for someone who may be in the hospital or a rehab facility or nursing home. What you don't know about our healthcare system can kill you. And I don't say that lightly. Visit the website speakupandstayalive.com to get your copy. It's only $20 and could very well be the best insurance you've ever owned. And while you're there, visit my speaking events link and then invite me to speak to your group, your club, business, association, church, or hospital. I can guarantee this. Your crowd will love it. Visit speakupandstayalive.com or call me to order the book and talk about making your next event a life-saving one. 440-725-5462. That is 440-725-5462. All right, we are out of time, but never out of topics. So be sure to come back next week. Same time, same place, but never the same information. Until then, I hope you have a healthy and a happy week. I am Pat Rulo, and I am the voice for informed choice.